Drew Kitts is going to provide a presentation on the Science Center's performance monitoring and evaluation plan. There's a handout in front of us to follow along. I'll turn it over to Drew. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm also here today with Patricia Pinto da Silva, and we're from the Science Center, the Social Sciences branch. And I'd like to give you an update on our plans for identifying social and economic performance measures. I don't think the agenda quite listed that the focus was going to be on the economics and sociocultural aspects, but how they relate to KETSHARE programs. Before doing that, though, I'd like to give you a little bit of background. So for those of you who don't know who we are, we're with NOAA Fisheries, with the Science Center in Woods Hole. And in the social sciences branch, we have eight economists and trying to position this microphone so it doesn't squeak. Eight economists and four anthropologists, social policy analysts. And we've been involved in fisheries management for quite some time, and our activities fall into three general categories. The first being that we conduct research on relevant economic and social issues related to fisheries in the Northeast region. We also are heavily involved in fishery management councils, primarily through our membership on plan development teams, where we provide information and analyses that go into the economic and social impacts of proposed regulations. And in support of those first two activities, we also get involved in the design and implementation of routine data collection methods. So performance measures is somewhat of a new focus for us, although, as I mentioned, we have extensive experience in helping managers and the public understand the economic and social cultural implications of fisheries management. And so moving into the performance measure realm is a natural extension for us. So the purpose for our visit today is just to let you know of our evolving plans regarding these performance measures, and secondly, to encourage you to consider what metrics you see as being central to measuring KETSHARE performance. Most importantly, I want to hear back from you. We're going to use this as an opportunity to listen to the perspective of hopefully a variety of different people, stakeholders, not just council members, but if there's council staff here, and if we have enough time, like to hear comments from the public, if we can do that. So I'll keep my presentation rather brief so I can leave that time for feedback. But I want to give you a general idea of what we're thinking so that you have some idea of what to comment on. So the need for performance measures is, I'm sure a lot of these things you're already very familiar with, but our new NOAA administrator has placed an increased emphasis on KETSHARE programs as one way of managing fisheries, appropriate for some, perhaps not for all. But anyway, there's that new emphasis on this as a way forward. Here in New England, obviously, we've got a highly visible changes in the multi-species fishery with 17 new sectors under Amendment 16. And there are other KETSHARE programs coming online in the Northeast region. And so, managers and stakeholders are going to want to know how well these KETSHARE programs are performing, and not just from a biological perspective, but or from an administrative point of view. But how are these are they meeting the expectations of what people think that these programs will do in terms of economics and sociocultural impacts? So our general approach really started back this summer when we internally started thinking about this, and the first step, which we're sort of in the middle of right now, is to identify and define these economic and sociocultural performance measures and find out what additional research questions we need to ask of ourselves to help develop this approach. And Once that phase is finished, we then need to identify what new types of data needs there are. We do have availability of a lot of information, but that won't allow us to do everything that we want to do. So we will need to develop some new data collection systems. So we need to look at what we currently have and what's missing. Sounds like from the presentation this morning, there's new data streams coming online that will be important for us to look at as well. But most importantly, we want to provide information and assessments and publications back to managers, to the public, that help improve our collective understanding of the human dimensions of catch share programs. And that's really where I think the real critical part comes in. And providing some context around these performance measures and indicators, really trying to understand, is it the catch share program that might be changing the direction of something that we're measuring, or something else going on in the economy or in the fishery. So that's going to be an important long-term part of what we do. So the progress to date on this is, as mentioned, back in the summer, internally the social science branch, using the expertise that we had, developed a straw man approach. And in September of 2009, we had a workshop that we held in Woods Hole where we primarily had academics come and help us, and we let them know of this straw man approach and got their input. We did have some people from other regions that had experience in Alaska fisheries, things of that nature. But that workshop was a little bit more focused on some of the technical aspects of what we might want to measure. We met with the Northeast Regional Office then in October. We got invited to a Northeast Consortium roundtable discussion that actually took place here in Portsmouth also in October. We've had a number of guest speakers come to Woods Hole that have been involved in a lot of different aspects of catch share programs. They came and made presentations to the scientists down there, and we also spent some time talking with them and getting their ideas. And we're continuing to do that, so if anyone has an interest in that, please let us know. On a national level, there was a workshop in La Jolla, California in November, and there the agency is looking at what kinds of performance measures should the agency be tracking over time that can be consistently compared across regions. So that work is going on as well, and the work we're doing in the Northeast is feeding into that discussion. Some future outreach plans that we have is we're working with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, which some of you may be hearing a little bit about in the near future, but we have a project with them to reach broad groups of stakeholders, and their focus is really to get at groups of people that don't attend meetings such as this or go to the workshops. They'll be talking to business owners that are in the support industry, fuel and ice suppliers, auction houses, dealers and processors, crew members. So we're really trying to reach out to those people and get their input on what they think are the important issues that we ought to be monitoring and tracking. We do plan to go down to the Mid-Atlantic region. We have a proposal submitted for some funding to do that, and we will be participating in an upcoming catch share workshop that they're planning there. So just to step back a little bit to what we based our straw man approach on, and we looked at a number of different sources of guidance. We looked at the national standards, the reauthorized Magnuson-Stevens Act. There's been some limited access privilege program guidance coming out of Silver Spring that we used to help guide our thinking on this. We revisited the FMP goals and objectives for catch share programs that have come online, reviewed the academic literature, and we also paid attention to the grade literature, the newspapers, the non-government organizations, reports, and things along those lines. And really what we wanted to do was, get a feel of what are the expectations that, people have in general about catch share programs and what are the fears. And we wanted to have this inform what we were going to measure. So the next few slides, I'm not going to go into any detail, but I just want to point out the words I have highlighted in red on the screen. These themes seem to keep rising to the surface, whether it was in the national standards or in FMP goals and objectives. But you hear a lot about allocation and economic efficiency, paying attention to communities, safety, and bycatch. Within the Magnuson-Stevens Act, in the section about LAPPs, it talks about reducing capacity and promoting safety and social and economic benefits. It talks even more specifically about small owner-operated fishing vessels. Again, you start seeing a theme here, addressing consolidation, entry-level fishermen, captains, crew, and it also talks about looking at excessive share of quota. If you look at the FMP goals and objectives, again, a lot of these same themes keep coming to the top. Many of these I've already mentioned. And not only in Amendment 16 or in the groundfish fishery, but also in scallop and tilefish and surf clam. The new one here that I probably haven't mentioned under surf clam that talks about allowing for regulatory flexibility and adaptation and simplifying management. And, looking at things like policy statements from Dr. Lubchenco on her vision for catch share programs, and the important part being here is, she sees these as giving a fisherman a stake in the benefits and creating incentives to ensure effective management. So with that, with looking at those sources of guidance and the academic literature and the gray literature, we sort of boiled down those themes into five main categories, those being financial viability, distributional outcomes, well-being, governance, and stewardship. And so I'm just going to briefly go through each of those five categories and give you a little idea of what those categories mean and what kinds of indicators and performance measures we're thinking about under each of those categories. So financial viability, we're trying to address questions as to, what happens, do crew members fare better or worse under catch share programs? Are vessel profits increasing or decreasing? How well do dealers, processors, and other support businesses, how are they faring under this program? And this is not an exhaustive list of the indicators we're thinking about, but this just gives you a little flavor. Some of the example indicators are looking at perhaps average crew earnings per day, using a host of indices that measure vessel profitability. If we had full information on cost and revenues for fishing vessels, we might want to see what's happening with is profit going up or down. And without having that full set of information right now, we're considering ways of looking at the inputs that are used into fishing, such as fuel, oil, and ice, and days at sea, and comparing that with landings on the dock and getting an idea of what's happening with vessel efficiency, even though we don't have a direct measure of profit at this point. To address how well dealers and processors are doing, we have some models that can help us look at economic activity in different sectors of the economy and get some idea of, if activity is increasing or decreasing and what the impacts might be on a certain community and jobs in a region. The distributional outcomes section, we're trying to address questions such as, has there been a concentration of quota ownership? Have employment opportunities changed? Are certain groups, communities, regions, have they somehow been excluded either in the allocation or in the implementation of a catch share program? Some of the example indicators under that category are there are already a number of indices that are used in other sectors of the economy that can help us measure concentration of ownership doing something by simply looking at revenue by community and fishery and vessel type can help us understand what might be happening as to where the opportunities for landing fish are falling, and has there been some change over time. And looking at something like annual crew days to get a sense of are the job opportunities for crew members increasing or decreasing. Well-being gets at questions such as, are fishermen, crew members, other employees more or less satisfied with the jobs, with their job? Is there, for example, has fishing become safer? Are catch share programs changing the way that fishermen to relate to each other or relate with fisheries managers? A lot of these indicators can be gotten at through additional surveys, some that are in some early stages of development. There are there's a survey that's beginning on job satisfaction. We can look at Coast Guard information about accident rates in different fisheries. And we also plan on having, again, a survey that looks at, the social networks and relationships among fishermen and try and figure out what's happened there. The category of governance focuses on trying to answer questions such as, has participation in the decision-making process changed? Has management become more or less complex? Are the rules that and the regulations that the fishermen have to live with, become something that's easier to understand or less easy to understand? Are fishermen able to stay within the limits of their catch share program? And is the management process itself seen as more or less legitimate? Again, a lot of these indicators will have to come with surveys of attitudes towards governance systems, but there also may be some information about compliance rates that we can use to help answer some of these questions. Stewardship, there's been a lot of talk about how that plays in, and do catch share programs improve participants' sense of stewardship? Have these programs changed the relationship between the resource users and the resource itself? We can look at things like discard rates. Are they increasing or decreasing, or looking at high grading? Again, a lot of this might come through a survey of people involved in the fishery, trying to find out if groups or individuals are getting involved in stock enhancement activities, whether that means going beyond what the regulations require them to do or other types of activities that might help enhance the stock. I won't go through this in much detail, but I mean, this is the list of information we currently have before us to help answer some of these questions. And I said there are some additional things coming online, so we will certainly be looking to use that, but we do need to expand beyond that. And possible new data sources, some these first two are already underway. We have another project with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute with Dan Holland on a survey on changing social relationships. Richard Polnack at University of Rhode Island has done a lot of work on well-being and job satisfaction, and we have ongoing projects with him that will expand to take into consideration catch share programs. Beyond those two surveys, we're probably looking at a more of a general sociocultural survey that gets at a lot of these questions about attitudes that I mentioned before. We also think it's really important to have a separate survey of crew members and ask them similar questions about how catch share programs has changed things in their lives. So that's my presentation on the background and where we've been. So I'd really like to turn this back to you and ask you some questions. Number one being, do you see these broad categories, including what you think are relevant and important? What do you think should be tracked and measured? and perhaps what are some of the key research questions from your perspective. And if you have the opportunity, I'd like, love to hear from council members, council staff, and anybody in the audience. And certainly if there's any questions about the things that I've covered, I'm happy to answer those.
Okay, thanks, Drew. Questions for Drew? Comments? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, thank you, Drew. I've always considered your particular branch to be one of the more important aspects of, you know, of the center, especially in light of where we're going with catch share management and certainly with sector management. This kind of information is critical to have. That is performance measures. What did happen? My question is, well, first question is, you make it very clear in your beginning slide that what you do, among other things, is to assess the economic and social impacts of proposed fisheries regulations. Now, clearly, your branch has had a lot of input into the development of Amendment 16. So I'm assuming, without looking at the document, I'm assuming that your branch had quite a few and has quite a few predictions as to what will happen with full implementation of Amendment 16 and sector management. Is part of this purpose, do you now intend to essentially evaluate whether or not your predictions were correct as part of a learning exercise for your branch and, of course, for all of us fisheries managers as we move deeper into catch share management? You ask a lot of good questions. So do they all relate to predictions that you have made in Amendment 16?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, I think a lot of what we are planning to do can help us understand maybe how well we did with any predictions that we might have made and some analyses. But I think it's a lot broader than that. And what we tend to end up doing, either in plan development teams, is we have the data that's in front of us. We do the analyses. We might make some predictions. But we want this to be something, and that's sort of a one-time event, and we vision this being something that's ongoing for over a longer time frame. So I think that's probably the real difference in being able to see what's happening over a much longer time period as new information comes in. And, you know, what would obviously help us improve our predictions in the future of similar things in other plans.
Yeah, I like your categories, financial viability, distributional outcomes, well-being, governance, and stewardship. The one that jumps out at me, the one I would like you to focus on as part of a performance indicator would be stewardship. Because, frankly, if we don't get stewardship through catch share management, then we will have failed. Stewardship is an integral portion of catch share management. I think that's very clear from the literature. I'm assuming that, I shouldn't assume this. Well, anyways, the questions that you relate to ask relative to stewardship are really good ones, and I hope you will be in a position to actually get the information you require that will enable you to answer these specific questions, such as have catch share allocations improve participants' sense of stewardship, and I hope that question is asked in the context of sector management, which, of course, is a form of catch share, but this is more for the future, too. Have catch share programs changed the relationship between resource users and the resource? Are discard rates increasing and decreasing? Critical questions that absolutely need to be addressed, because if we can't get yeses or qualified yeses to those three questions, then we're going to have a real problem with the future direction of groundfish management, and not just management of groundfish, but other species as well. Let's see, I had another question.
If I could just respond briefly to that. We have had a number of discussions about stewardship, and it is a really interesting topic. And I think the trick is going to be to separate out, the more general sense of stewardship versus, aligning economic incentives with conservation incentives and, kind of separating a lot of those issues out.
So the information you learn as part of your evaluation of the success of sector management, you'll be able to offer up some recommendations to managers regarding perhaps in the future how we can improve the possibility of getting better stewardship? Is that where you're
going? I hope so. There was one slide that did say, a big component of this moving beyond the measurement aspect is a feedback loop to managers. We hope to be able to use this information to help us, do a better job on plan development teams and build in some of the things that we're finding back into the design of new or modifications to catch share programs.
If you could bring your microphone a little bit closer to
sure,
that.
Sure.
Thank you.
It was squeaking in certain directions.
Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Drew, for the presentation. I had a couple of questions. David sort of hit on one of them. I'll perhaps elaborate a little bit more on that. Under the slide talking about the need for performance measures, you talk about new catch share programs being developed. And I wonder if there is any consideration of the thought about catch share programs in recreational fisheries, and if so, then I think there are a lot of things that could be added into various things that you have talked about that would focus at least some attention on that potential. The sort of second thing had to do under the stewardship. I too would like to see perhaps a slightly stronger emphasis on the resource enhancement or resource sustainability aspect of that. And I understand that it's interwoven into that stewardship concept, but somehow in my mind that rises a little bit higher in the level than at least it, my perception of how it's being treated here.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Drew. I'm very pleased to see this effort moving forward because this information is desperately needed as we further develop the groundfish catch shares and consider other catch share programs. And referring to your presentation on the MSA limit access privilege programs and FMP goal objectives, what we thought and what I don't see here is a fundamental question is there anybody left, and who is it and why? Particularly in reference to this, the goal to minimize impacts on small vessels and coastal communities. And consolidation is coming, and you probably can tease it out of the number of the criteria that you had in your five, objectives there. But that's a fundamental question that I'm going to be looking to have answered in the months to come.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. I would think generally those issues would fall under the category of distributional outcomes, and not only from the initial implementation of a catch share program, but then what happens over time with perhaps concentration of ownership. And we do have plans to address to look at things that can help measure those. There's been a lot of discussion about, for example, the price of quota, lease price, and is that a barrier to entry for people getting in the fishery? And so we do plan on looking at issues like that.
Do you intend to interview crew and infrastructure that don't exist anymore? It'd be two very set of...
That's the other part of it. It's not just crew, but we've had extensive discussions about trying somehow to track people who have left the fishery as well and talk to them.
The folks who are perceived as winners on the other end should be, are the survivors, and hopefully they're happy with how things are going.
Right, right. Yeah, no, we want to look at both categories. Yeah.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think, Drew, an important performance metric in today's recession is creating jobs, and I know that's going to be very difficult for you to reconcile the short-term loss of jobs with the long-term economic viability and those things that you're going to measure. But I think as you look at how polarizing catch-share programs are, I think you're going to have to pay close attention to reconciling consolidation and job loss versus the long-term benefits of economic and social viability.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. And just so everyone understands, a number of these things we hope to track, depending on the perspective that you're taking, whether it might be economically positive, but on the sociocultural side might be seen as a negative. We want to track these things, but we're not getting into the game of saying, what direction is good and bad, and from depending on what perspective you're taking. But those are good comments. We'll definitely pay attention to those.
Dave Gaethel.
Yeah. First of all, I'd just like to remind everybody around the table, because of the acoustics in the room, the people in the back can't hear unless you speak fairly close to the microphone. So I went back and checked at the beginning of this presentation, and as long as you lean forward and speak clearly, they can hear you. Other than that, because of the heating system or something, it's pretty hard to hear. But I wanted to follow up on Paul and Terry, actually, because they were pretty similar to what I was going to ask about. First of all, you were here in New Hampshire in October, so you, in some sense, have met the losers. Mm-hmm. We had a rather stormy meeting that night. Mm-hmm. You walked into a buzzsaw. You were the first kind of government folks that have shown up since sector management became a reality, and as you could see, people weren't too pleased in New Hampshire. So, and I had a chance to talk to these people some afterwards to try and get a more coherent set of questions for you. They're very concerned that somebody follow the losers that in catch share programs. Everybody follows the winners. Those are the people left in the fishery. Pew and EDF have a well-oiled public relations machine that reports daily on the winners. We don't need any more surveys of the winners. We know who they are. They're well characterized already. But the losers seem to just fall through the cracks. And because of the fact that, I guess it's because I voted against the submission of Amendment 16, all the losers have latched on to me. And I say this only, not in a joking sense, but I probably receive between 25 and 50 emails a day from all over the country from people who have been losers in catch share programs who want to make sure that the mistakes in their region aren't repeated in New England. And unfortunately for us, it's already too late because we've already repeated all those mistakes. Some of them we've made even worse than they did. But they feel it's very important that those losers be surveyed. They feel that, jobs are important, that they lost a job that was well-paying, and they've ended up in either a meaningless job or what they call a dead-end job or on welfare or something like that. They're not happy about it. And I can understand that. They want to make sure that somebody does a survey of how communities have changed, because some of these communities have been radically changed by catch-share programs, especially some of the ones in Alaska. Those are the people that contact me quite regularly and feel that the government up there has basically ignored them. So, yes, it's important to survey the people that are still in the fishing industry. You could call them winners. I'm not sure whether they're a winner or a loser, but at least they're still here. And that's important. We need that information as well. But what we also need is, this country needs to know what the cost is associated with this. What happened to those other people? If the government's supporting them indirectly now through some kind of massive subsidization and welfare, would we have been better off to keep more people employed in the fishing industry and operating in a more inefficient manner? Those types of questions need to be asked, and we need to get some sense of them. And I would say they need to be asked of the programs that already exist, and those reports need to be issued. We can't wait in New England till 4 or 5 years from now when the three people that are left, have the survey then. We need it from the areas that it's already happened in, and so we get some sense of what we're unleashing here in this area. So that would be what I would hope you could do, and that's what the people in, that I talk to in my state would hope you could produce for them.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly echo David Gethel's suggestion, so he's right on the money. Along those lines, I've got a very specific question. A task I would like you to undertake as part of the Amendment 16 investigation, that is the analysis of the after effects. It's too late to do anything that's predictive. It's about what happened. You make it very clear that in your, on page 2 in one of your slides, that indeed the MSA Limited Access Privilege Programs involve many specific requirements identified in Section 303A, address excessive consolidation, no excessive shares. Okay. With that said, with that understanding, it would be very informative for this council to find out, again, after it's all over, the consequence of our having no cap on share ownership, specifically in Amendment 16, sector allocations will not be limited to 20% of the yearly TAC. There's going to be no restriction. That's done so that we can facilitate participation in sectors. It's a laudable goal. Nevertheless, we're getting rid of a cap that was put in place for very good reasons a number of years ago. This council decided not to put it in. I did not support that. In recent correspondence this morning, we found out from Pat that indeed she's going to keep the cap is gone. So what will be the consequence of that relative to these very important MSA LAP provisions, that is consolidation, address excessive consolidation, and no excessive shares? I'd like to see that research question addressed with an understanding that I'm still not sure what excessive means. And therein lies, I think, many of our problems. You know, how do you define what's too much, what's excessive? And I still struggle with that.
Jimmy, and then Mary Beth.
Yeah, Drew, I think another thing I would think you'd want to look at is, I mean, I think we all know we've been losing jobs in this fisheries over the past 5 years, every year, so I don't know the number, but just say we've been losing 100 jobs a year, and you do a report that says we're continuing to lose 100 jobs a year for 2 years, and then it turns, levels off or something. So wouldn't you have to compare it to what the past job loss was to see if you were improving or digressing?
Right. It's a very important point. And some of those things we are going to be limited by the data that we have available. We do, I mean, we're trying to get some of these things going as soon as possible to have that baseline. And where information is available that goes back in time, we can use that to put it in that broader context. But I mean, that is going to be one of our challenges is having a long enough time series, and in some cases, implementing some things that are already in the middle of a catch-share program. We really don't have the information to go back, but we recognize that issue, and we'll do the best we can to shed light on that.
Mary Beth?
Well, Drew just outlined some of my comments, and that was challenges and the lack of a good baseline. And having participated in a data collection program for catch shares, that was a complaint from the industry that was fairly significant in that under this particular program, they are required to report all kinds of information that they haven't reported in the past, but what do you compare it to? Because if it wasn't collected in the past and you only collect it from the date the program starts, what do you do about that? So I think that's a particular challenge that will be difficult, and I'm sure you'll try to do the best you can. And the other challenge, I think, is gathering the data that you really want. I mean, I can see both sides of this in that why it's necessary and good for all of us, particularly as managers in the agency, to know what the impacts are and to collect better data. But at the same time, from a business perspective, it's often seen as really intrusive. you know, answering all these questions and why do you want to know this, and, you know, even the observers who ask questions now on a, you know, sort of staggered basis up against every 6 months or whatever it is, I get calls sometimes about that. Well, what do they need to know that for? So if there were a way that you could sort of get a message out to people, the value of what, you know, getting the data is and trying to get more cooperation. I mean, participating in a program which is required that you report it, that irritates people. We don't actually have that regulatory authority here, so you're, like, needing to get people voluntarily to supply you, you know, information that you're going to get a lot of people saying, I don't want to do it. So I think that's a, you know, that's a pretty, you know, big challenge, and good luck.
If I get to respond to one of your points, a lot of the information that we get through logbook and dealer reporting, I think we can, you know, say something about you know, establishing a good baseline for some of these indicators. But the other part of it, another big component of what we need to do is, you know, the research projects around separating out, you know, cause and effect issues. And, you know, I know there, in particular, there's Chris Anderson at the University of Rhode Island is doing an analysis of the fluke sector, and he has a model that, you know, since they are looking at this sector going now, they have some modeling techniques that can separate out the real, you know, performance in that fishery without having, you know, prior year's data. So, I mean, there, I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying, but there also are some analytical techniques that we can use to help sort some of that out.
Glenn?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if it was in here or not, but I think there should be a way to track consumer perception of catch shares. Buying choices are ultimately what's going to drive this fishery and determine whether the smaller operations can survive or not. And it'll also, if people are choosing to buy the fish because of the way it's managed instead of possibly stock status, then that should promote the stewardship that we're trying to get to, too. If the fishermen can get more money from catching fish a certain way, they'll do it.
Thank you. Thanks, Drew. Just a couple of questions. One is, have you thought about how to consider the emergence of permit banks, you know, the ones that are existing that we know about and potentially that the state of Maine has proposed? Those are kind of relatively newly emergent, and how those relate to some of the socioeconomic questions that you're dealing with. I don't know what the answer is there, but I just want to put that out there. And then the other thing is, in terms of the accumulation limit discussion, I don't know if you were here this morning, but it seems like we might have a discussion about that during priority setting on Thursday morning, so that might kind of further inform how you're able to consider that in your work.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see anywhere in here the concept that, well, you know, for better or for worse, we're going to have a dual fishing and management system out there of, you know, a common pool as well as a sector program. It seems to me that there could be some sort of comparative anatomy of those two systems as they go into effect. Fishermen have been forced to make decisions about sectors in the common pool, and some would argue they haven't had sufficient information to do so. Nevertheless, they've had to make decisions. Those decisions will have consequences. So I'm thinking that some sort of tracking analysis of those two collective groups might give insight into the decision-making process and the outcomes of those decisions and the implications of those decisions that might be valuable. I didn't see that anywhere in here. Perhaps you're already thinking about that.
No, that is a good point. And sectors is a unique example where we can have a sector of the fishery with the catch share program and without, and make some comparisons. In most other cases where the whole fishery is under a catch share program, it'll have to be before and after comparison.
or comparison to a similar fishery, perhaps. But yeah, we have thought about that, and but those are good points to raise.
Anyone else on the council? Any members of the audience? Okay. Well, thank you, Drew. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to transition into the next agenda item, which is the Herring Committee report. Report.